Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
What other little things do you do?
I try and keep governments of both countries on their toes about policies relating to the working man and woman. And I also keep ferrets. And I do that wee spin on the finger with the basketball, like the Harlem Globetrotters, you know that. I enjoy doing that when I'm in my study.
So anyway, the Queen.
Well, it was a very dark night. I remember that very well. And this was long before computers or anything like that. And I remember saying to Martin, turned around to him in the tunnel, I says, have you got the lighter? And he says, have I got the lighter? I thought you had the lighter. And we're both standing there in the pitch black dark. And I look around and he's looking for a lighter with a box of matches. I said, who put you in charge? He says, you did. And we both laughed. And then the Queen says, when she heard this, she says, I heard that on the radio. Was that you? That's gas.
Welcome to Free State, everyone. It's very good to be here. Especially good to be here as I seem to have acquired a new role as a kind of GAA guru. I couldn't help notice when I was reading Joe Brawley's column in the Sunday Independent that he referred to Jim McGuinness as doing something revolutionary in Gaelic football and becoming the Jurgen Klopp of Gaelic football. And I think that if anyone was listening to our podcast around January, they would have noticed me making this point, Joe ignoring it, if he was listening at all. But like an irritating jingle, my ideas clearly penetrated somewhere and landed in Joe Brawley's subconscious.
That's a good description of yourself. An irritating jingle. Just remember that.
I've stolen it from George Costanza.
Can you hear that sound? Can you hear that sound? That's the GAA people of Ireland rolling their eyes.
Well, you know, they are a broad church. You know, they welcome me. I've probably been to more GAA congresses than you, have I?
Yes. I addressed Congress once about organ donation. I felt splendid, you know. I felt sort of, I can understand why Donald Trump enjoys the podium and the big crowd.
I don't think that's the only time.
Except I wasn't selling gold sneakers for $9,000 a pop. I was selling life, selling a message of living life and giving life. That was great, really. I thought it was great. I really hugely enjoyed.
Well, it is actually. I was sent to GAA Congress once. First time I met Jarlath Burns, actually. I was sent as a kind of fish out of water, and Jarlath took me under his wing. But it was both incredibly fascinating and incredibly boring simultaneously. But one of the things that
they need to hold their next Congress at the Definite.
Oh God, no, that's Belfast. I was about to say how it was great to see Ireland. You know, the seriousness which they took on the kind of key issues in Irish life. But you
what could be more important than that? And you know, to be fair, it's that night in the Devonish has brought the North together in a way that the politicians never could. I mean, like you had four stunningly magnificent looking black men. You know, with I mean, husbands and boyfriends were waking up all over Belfast on Sunday morning to see their wives and girlfriends, you know, being slapped on the face by three enormous cocks, for want of a better word, and a night of absolute hilarity. And I suppose it shows again, you know, that with all our prudishness and the way we present ourselves and, you know, beeping out curse words, you know, before a certain time at night and, oh, well, we can't really be showing sex and things like that, that in truth, whenever it comes down to it, you know, human beings are, as Jack Nicholson famously said, just animals with clothes on. But I mean, it was. I mean, friends of mine have been sent me. I don't sort of usually dip into this stuff myself, but it was very, very funny, you know. And it seemed to sort of, in the end, turn into, you know, trying to think of the most delicate way to put it, an orgy.
I haven't seen any of this, you know.
You know, and let she who has not had her face slapped by three enormous black cocks cast the first stone. Have you seen RT's?
Well, I have, but I was going to say I spent a great few days. We went over, the family went over to London for a few days last week, and you know, we lived there for a long time. My son was born there, and he doesn't really remember because he left when he was two, and we had a great time just going around. Went to a show, and we went around various sites and all the things that make London. And it still is, despite everything, it still is a great, great city. But as on our first day when we arrived, we went for lunch in Borough Market, lovely place in Borough Market. And as I stepped out of the restaurant, who did I see in front of me? Mr. London himself. Mr. London himself, Ryan Tuberty.
Fabulous.
And I know, I know Ryan, and if I caught his eye, I would have said hello and wished him all the best, because it is great that he's getting on with things. And I think it's actually a great thing for him to be out of.
Well, I hope he can find his way around London better than he could find it around Ireland. He loves Louth so much, he thought it was Ulster seventh county.
How many counties are in Ulster, Joe? How many counties are in Ulster? You know, you've slipped up there. But the RTE statement. What is the latest RTE statement? Because we know that this story is developing all the time.
It's, just let me get it here. Yeah, breaking statement from RTE Director General. Bullshit! 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 Welcome this government review. My appointment heralds a new dawn. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Draw a line under this unfortunate saga. Breda O'Keefe, Moya Doherty, great service. Bullshit, bullshit. A few bad apples restore the trust of the great Irish public.
Good statement. I think you could actually, if you were a PR company, you could charge about, you know, 15 grand for that.
I mean, the Oireachtas credit card, but it's all the same, isn't it? I mean, the uncanny similarities between the corruption of RTÉ and the corruption of the political process, you know, and the way that the establishment in Ireland has systematically and fully taken control of RTÉ, so that RTÉ, you know, which used to be a sort of beacon of independence, is no longer. I mean, I saw at the weekend a revelation that the Oireachtas credit card was used recently to pay a 17,000 euro bill at the K Club, you know, which rivals sort of RTE's secret slush fund credit card, 14,000 euro on Ed Sheeran at Croke Park. And you look at these characters. I mean, Moya Doherty, do you know what the TWC-TBA virus is? Too well connected to be arsed virus. And the entire RTÉ ex-top brass seems to have come down with a very bad case of the TWC-TBA virus. Moya Doherty, you know, who I mean, and it's incredible too, the uncanny similarities in how they dress. You know, she dressed like a supervillain in the Batman movies, you know, like the Penguin's wife. Or Willy Wonka's weird mother, you know, looking down on the little people of Ireland, you know. And, you know, she told the pack last week, initially she didn't respond at all from the Dáil's committee's request for her to appear to answer questions about her previous evidence. And I'm not sure if she's not well. But in her case, it's the two well connected to be arsed virus. Dee Forbes isn't well either. She's got the TWC-TBA. And I mean, Dee, and this is not a commentary on a woman's looks or anything like that. It's the same thing. You know, she also looks like the editor of Vogue. She's a power dresser. She wears the big glasses, you know, like the old motorbike goggles that Biggles wore when he was when he was flying in his biplane, you know, in World War One. For the British, and this sort of power trip that they're on, you know, that they will look, you know, above the little people. And you know, Richard Collins, he's not well either. God bless him. Very forgetful these days. He couldn't even remember his salary. Now he can't even remember if he got a golden handshake or not. You know, Rory Coveney, Simon's brother. Brackets, close brackets. RT never mentioned that. He's not well either. Bless him. Breda O'Keefe. Do you remember Breda's barnstorming performance at the first pack?
Oireachtas committee performances.
Oh, where she blamed entirely convincingly everyone else. And sadly, she too has succumbed to the TWC-TBA virus. Geraldine O'Leary, another power dresser who travelled the world more extensively than Jules Verne, you know. And the ideals of RTE when it was founded of a flourishing independent public broadcaster, which it was until the Troubles, you know, have now been entirely corrupted, you know. And that's, you know, there have been repeated attacks from the establishment starting in the early 70s because RTE was, you know, platform Northern Republicans, Northern Nationalists. You know, they were doing honest documentaries on the scale of the oppression and what was happening in the North. And then, you know, a full infiltration by the establishment destroyed that independence. And RT has never recovered.
Well, it's we'll get into that in a minute. And it is one of those areas where you look at it, and as you look back on it, you wonder. There was clearly censorship involved, and then there was that even more pernicious thing of self-censorship, and that is the kind of the legacy that is it seems to be remained in RTE in terms of wanting to be as careful and as overly prudent at all times.
I think it's a deliberate, I mean, I watch it all very, very carefully, I hope, and forensically. And it's the body language, it's the distaste, it's the subtle sort of portrayal, you know, negative portrayal of people before profit, Sinn Féin, you know, anyone who is standing up for the underdog versus the love-in that occurs, you know, when it's a member of the establishment. I mean, and funny, whenever I was reading Brian Hanley's fascinating study, The Impact of the Troubles on the Republic of Ireland, 1968 to 1979, where he traces it through how RTE was slowly transformed by the establishment from an honest to goodness, you know, let the dice fall where they may, but tell the truth broadcaster, to basically being controlled by establishment cronies. And, you know, I was conscious reading that your own family suffered in that regard.
I wouldn't say they suffered, but my granduncle was part of the RTE authority that was fired by the Fianna Fáil government in 1972, after Kevin O'Kelly, the RTÉ journalist, broadcast, he didn't broadcast an interview with Sean McStephon, who was the chief of staff of the IRA. He broadcast, because he wasn't allowed, they weren't allowed to that at that stage. He broadcast, he read out a transcript of their discussion on air, and Fianna Fáil, yep. Fianna Fáil government were enraged by this, and they claimed that RTÉ had facilitated a blatant attempt to circumvent the directive, and they wanted the RTÉ authority, of which my grand uncle was a man called James Fanning. He was the editor of the Midland Tribune in Birr, and Midland Tribune was set up by his mother, actually, as a kind of land league paper in the 19th century. And Jimmy, I remember going to visit his house, and he was a kind of austere enough guy, but he had played this. He was, anyway, the RTÉ authority refused to outline the new measures they would implement to prevent this happening again, and they were sacked in their entirety 5 days after the O'Kelly broadcast.
Yeah, and you had that ridiculous situation where RTÉ journalists, in good faith, were doing their best to try and report what was happening in the north, and they were reduced then to, at that point, you know, repeating statements, you know, of people from the sort of the nationalist Republican side, for fear that the broadcasting would result in sanctions from the government, you know. And by the end of 1972, I mean, the Broadcasting Act 63 was being ruthlessly used by Fianna Fáil to silence nationalist viewpoints or any news item that related to the North that might remotely be seen sympathetic to what was happening to us. And whenever Jack Lynch, who was the Taoiseach at the time, whenever your grand uncle was sacked with the entire authority, he replaced them with what one well-known journalist described as, quote, a collection of civil servants, Fianna Fáil party hacks and corkmen. and since then, you know, the message was clear then that you know, we will stamp down on you. Never mind free speech or any of this nonsense, you know. Free speech does not apply to Northern Nationalists or Northern Republicans, you know. And I mean, you go back, you know, just to trace it through. I mean, when the People's Democracy Marchers were battened off the road at Burntollet Bridge in 1969, the pictures were broadcast around the world. And, you know, it was a, who will help us? Who will help us? And then in 1969, later on, when loyalists with members of the then the notorious police force, the Royal Ulster Constabulary, accompanying them, burned out all 60 terrorist houses in Bombay Street off the Falls Road, and most of the Catholic homes in Kashmir Road and Cooper Street, which were off that. And because RTÉ were able to broadcast all of that freely and interview people and get an honest account, the people of the South opened their doors to thousands of refugees that streamed south from the north who'd been burnt out of their houses. The people of the South, they housed our people in barracks and schools and private homes, you know. And, you know, when John Hume said after Bloody Sunday that the Parachute Regiment have carried out cold-blooded mass murder, another Sharpeville relating to the massacre of black people in America, you know, the revulsion in the South was universal. The Irish ambassador was withdrawn from London. All the schools and workplaces in the South were closed, and the government announced the National Day of Mourning. But very, very quickly thereafter, you know, and I make this point because I'm very interested in how RTÉ has become corrupted. Very quickly thereafter, the state changed course, and that was dictated. That was dictated by the establishment. I mean, not only, I mean, you talk about what happened to your granduncle after the RTÉ reporter Kevin O'Kelly merely repeated some statements on air from an interview he had conducted with Sean McStephen, who was the IRA's chief of staff. O'Kelly was arrested, charged with contempt of court, because like any journalist of integrity, he refused to hand over the interview tape.
And for contempt, but that was during the case. That was during the McStephon case, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he refused to hand over the interview tape. And Jerry Collins,
no, I'm just giving
does that make
context.
It any better? Told the Doyle that an undue amount of time has been given to these people who represent nobody but themselves, giving viewpoints which are totally unacceptable to the Irish people. And Fianna Fáil's George Colley dismissed all, quote, all this crap claptrap about the freedom of the press. And it was that same month that the government proposed an extraordinary amendment to the Offences Against the State Act, which shifted the burden of the proof onto the defendant in, quote, terrorist, unquote, cases, and allowed people to be convicted by a judge on the say-so of a senior Garda. Yeah, he's guilty. Well, okay. I'm afraid I must impose the only sentence available to me in law. Have you anything further to say? Oh, I'm innocent. Well, I'm afraid that's not going to wash, you know. And that policy of censorship then broke RTE, you know, because apart from replacing the entire authority, what happened then was that RTE slowly but surely became populated by, you use the word, people who were safe pairs of hands, and that's correct. I say hacks. And also, even if a young person who was idealistic went into RTE then, they were moulded, you know, because that was the environment in which they were being trained. You know, they were moulded in a certain way. And so, you know, as I think we've mentioned on a previous podcast, there's not a single broadcaster in RTE through that huge movement, you know, publicly funded. There's not a single broadcaster that comes from a Sinn Féin, Northern Republican, Southern Republican background. Not a single one. I mean, in October 1974, the RTE programme 7 Days broadcast a special on internment. And internment, you know, and I say this because young people are always stopping me and saying, that, you know, really, really? Internment was whenever the British decided that they would simply arrest and detain Catholic men from the north and put them in a camp without charge, without trial, you know. And many of them were there for 4 years. My father was there for about three and a half years. And the programme featured interviews with people who'd been released from internment and their families. And it also showed footage of British troops attacking anti-internment marches. So peaceful anti-internment marches being attacked. And the Minister for Broadcasting in the Labour Fine Gael coalition was Conor Cruise O'Brien. He suspended the head of RTE Current Affairs, Des Fisher, and all of the members of the 7 Days production team, declaring, quote, the IRA are in spiritual occupation of RTE. And so all of these things, you know, particularly with the ghastly Conor Cruise O'Brien at that stage dictating policy, you know, who was very sympathetic to unionists in the north, you know, loathed Northern Catholics. And spoke in a blammy accent like that. It could have been any British aristocrat, you know. And of course, like, you know, like many of the current establishment would be much happier in the company of King Charles than with Michelle O'Neill. And it moved the legendary civil rights leader, Father Dennis Fall, to say, you know, now that government control of RTE is so complete, people in the south are not able to care very much about the plight of us in the north anymore. But loyalists can pour out their hate for Catholics on the station.
Well, loyalist paramilitaries were banned from RTE as well.
But just hold on. Some of the most sectarian people, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Ian Paisley Sr., Willie McRae, all of the DUP, all of whom were involved with Ulster Resistance, you know, and who were part of that sort of ill-fated flotilla that tried to invade Clontibret. I mean, come on. All of them were able to say whatever they wanted to, you know. And I think, you know, you made the point that I think Neil Jordan made the celebrated film director. He wrote in Hot Press in June 1977, is it not amazing that people in Ireland have to turn on the ITV News at 10 to find out what's happening in Ireland?
See, and again, this...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
If you you mentioned Brian Hanley's book, which is a fascinating read, and there is a story there. He notes how a journalist in the Kerryman noted how the BBC's coverage of the Mountjoy helicopter escape had provided more historical context than RTE's ultra objective report, which might have been the story of three swallows taking off for Spain from a tree in O'Connell Street. And I can remember, it's a funny thing, my granduncle, Jimmy, talking about how RTE covered news in a more general sense. And this is something that you can see from that time to this. And you can still contrast it, but if you listen to the BBC, for all its flaws, you listen to the RTE news an awful lot of the time because of that culture which is now in there. And I think it's broader in the North. And I think we disagree on the reasons for some of those bans and what it did, why the support ebbed away. I don't think it was because of those bans at all, but that culture is now there all the time. So RTE reports are as safe, and of course they are for every issue. You will really find that it is like three swallows taking off for Spain from a tree in O'Connell Street.
I think it's a lot more than that. You say that, but it's a dangerous, very invidious and dangerous and very deliberate propagandistic approach. So I'm going to respectfully say,
what am I wrong about?
I'm going to say to you that RT has become a platform for the establishment and for establishment views. Let's look, you know, at what then transpired, you know, because of this approach by government. Because let me tell you this, brother, you're completely wrong that this did not contribute to the ebbing away of sympathy.
Well, I would say the greatest contribution to the ebbing away of sympathy was probably the fact that the IRA campaign got worse and worse and killed more people and became more indiscriminate.
Is this Annie Lawler I'm talking to?
Let me finish my point.
This is why advertisers advertise. This is why the media is so potent. This is how Rupert Murdoch, for example, was able to sell Brexit. This is how Rupert Murdoch was able to subvert British democracy through the power of the media. This is how Fox News is systematically dismantling American democracy through the power of a constant media message, you know. So for someone who works in journalism, you must be very naive if you think that the censorship, right, where leading commentators were saying, You know, people like Father Fall, people like Neil Jordan saying, look, you have to watch ITV News to find out what's happening in Ireland. It was a very careful, orchestrated plan to propagandise and demonise the people of the North, to dehumanise us and to demonise us. And that's precisely what was done. As one of the political grandees in the North said, those in the North who are living by the bomb and gun and all of those who support them will not be afforded the same rights as the rest of the population. And so the people of the South had and have a very strong emotional connection to us. But the establishment closed ranks, and what happened thereafter was a demonisation of us. Let me bring it up to the modern times. I mean, did you see the Late Late Show the other night with Michelle O'Neill? Right. Well, I have to say, I was very, you know, because like we watched the Late Late Show as children, and you know, it was the big standout event because you only had, we had in the North, we had the BBC, ITV, and then if you could get an RTE aerial, which not that many people had, you could get RTE, and that was it. And the Late Late Show was obviously a huge cultural event then when we were young with Gay Byrne and his pump. And I found it really very moving the other night, Michelle O'Neill on the Late Late Show. And the reason I found it so moving was it was really odd to see her being treated with respect. You know, Paddy Keelty, who's one of us, you know, who suffered like a lot of us did, and more than many people, with his father being assassinated by loyalists, he treated her as an equal. And if you'd watched it, you would have seen how the audience reacted, you know, live and online then. You know, it was so gratifying to me to see that. You know, to see the people of Ireland, how they reacted.
See,
one of us.
I agree.
You know, and whose family suffered a lot. And the contrast, but let me just make the point. The contrast to how, you know, people from my community have been treated up until now by RTE. I mean, when Gerry Adams came on the Late Late Show, first of all, you know, he was absolutely pilloried by Gay Byrne, you know, as the devil incarnate, you know, as something evil and unclean.
But showed, yeah.
Whenever Ryan Tuberty was hosting the Late Late Show, he said, the first thing he said to Gerry Adams,
Joe, that,
was, you have
that,
blood
that
in your
reflects,
hands.
That reflects, but that reflects
hold on, just
how
bear,
people
just bear with me.
In, it does reflect how people in the country.
It doesn't.
It does.
It they're setting
you that it does. Okay?
It doesn't. And I'll tell you why it doesn't. And I'll tell you why
Joe,
it doesn't.
Listen,
tell
how often do you, how often do you,
because there's 33% of people in the South.
Yeah, but they're not, they weren't voting,
voting
for them.
For Sinn
they
Féin,
weren't
though.
Voting for them when Gerry Adams came on that issue. That's my point. You can tell me, and you listen, Joe, a second. Listen a second.
Ryan,
to me. You will say to me, and I will listen to you, and I accept this, that, you know, people like me do not understand what it was like to be among, you know, to be a Northern nationalist, to be growing up in that community during the Troubles. And that is something that somebody like me, who has a firm view, which hasn't really altered, about the provisional IRA, about terrorism, about nationalism, those kind of things, has to actually take on board and consider and say, right, there were certain aspects, and we might get into this, where
you're living in a country created by the IRA.
A second.
But you wouldn't be there otherwise.
What I'm saying is,
you'd be part of the United
Kingdom.
That
you have to accept how people in the South felt about it. That is a fact too. And it may be, you may not like what they felt, and you may not like why they felt it. No.
How the establishment felt about it.
You can give it any excuse you want, but there wasn't.
It's not an excuse. Let me compare and contrast. Let's say that the Irish government had resolutely supported us in the North instead of abandoned.
Supported who?
Let's say the
supported
establishment
who? The nationalist community, or the provisional IRA?
Yeah, the nationalist community. No, the nationalist community in the North. All right. And then after the massacres by the soldiers, after the burning out and after all of that, said, look, just as they've done in Ukraine, you know, this is a resistance movement. Just as they've done in other hotspots in the world, they've picked and they've called them the good guys. All right. Look, Ukraine are resisting a terrible oppression now. You know, this onslaught from this military power. Okay. So they're cast in a very good positive light, as they should be. Right. Now if the Irish establishment had stood with the Irish people of the North, don't forget, having done the deal that fucked us in 1921, all right? Let us go. Leave them to their fate, all right? Let whatever's going to happen, happen. Let them be walked all over there. Let the unionists operate a system of apartheid. We'll stay out of it. We'll stay out of it. Now, had they instead of that said, okay, look, you know, this is not acceptable. Had they continually raised our case, had they continually, you know, allowed our voices to be heard, then you would have an entirely different situation. You know, let me give you, Ryan Tuberty said to Gerry Adams, you have blood on your hands. And Gerry Adams said, so did your grandfather. And Tuberty says, I was wondering how long it would take you to bring that up.
Hmm. Did you ever lose a night's sleep because of the activities of the IRA?
No, I don't think that. I think that's a glib way to put it, if I may say.
Well, if you want to put it in a nicer way.
Yeah, of course I'm troubled having come through a conflict. Of course I am.
But some people are watching tonight and say, that man has blood in his hands. Do you have blood in your hands?
No, I don't. And you may as well say that your grandfather had blood in his hands.
I was wondering, would you bring that up?
No.
The good old IRA, you know, and then the new IRA. And you sitting there talking about, oh, I didn't support the IRA. Well, you're in a country created by them.
But
let's not be hypocritical about this. Meanwhile, UK ministers, Ian Paisley, Tony Blair, they were coming on the Late Late Show and the red carpet was being rolled out. I mean, when Ian Paisley came on to the Late Late Show for the first time, it was a joyous occasion. It was a loving. A guy who caused more murder and mayhem and destruction. As Brian Kennedy said to Ian Paisley Jr. one night at a debate the three of us were at, Mark Carruthers, the great BBC journalist, had invited us to the launch of his book, and we had a debate at the Queen's Festival. And Ian Paisley Jr. was talking about his father, and Brian Kennedy said, your father has more blood in his hands than any other human being in the North. And yet there he was, in the Late Late, being lauded as a hero, a champion. It's great fun. Oh, and his daughter's coming out now, and it's, look at that. Oh, tell us that one, Ian. I went, Or when Peter Brook came on, you know, talking about his relationships and about, you know, will you sing us a song, Peter? Oh, my darling. Oh, darling. Oh, wonderful. Ah, that is fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. You know, and then whenever Michelle Neal came on as Ryan Tuberty, it was again that frozen body language as though she had some terrible infectious disease. You know, and that has persisted. I mean, I'll give you a small example. If Rory Coveney, right, was the brother of a Sinn Féin TD or a Sinn Féin shadow minister, RTE would call Rory Coveney the brother of Sinn Féin's ex. But because it's Fine Gael, that's never mentioned.
I saw stories today. Simon Coveney was asked about it today. He was asked to answer questions. Why?
That's different. That's different. And it would be cast in an entirely different way. And we see this also, I mean, and I think we see it very, very strongly, with RT's handling of Israel. You know, they have no problem whatsoever platforming Israel's team of genocidal apologists, from Dana Ehrlich, the ambassador, to Elon Levy. But when the Irish women in Harmony wore T-shirts with Gaza love hearts and watermelon solidarity badges with the people of Palestine, at the Late Late Show on Friday night past, after Michelle O'Neill was there, they were asked by RTE staff in the changing room to remove those before going on stage to perform their tribute in memory of...
Well, you see, I think that comes back to that what Mary Holland said was self-censorship raised to the level of an art. Like, it is something that is just always present in RTE. Like, I remember a friend of mine telling me a story about going on a RTE radio show to talk about satire with somebody else, two guests who were well experienced in the lines, the how you had to go very close to the edge with satire. And they said, "Oh, we're going to have a good discussion on this radio program." And then just before they went on air, the producer said, "By the way, nobody mentioned because they were so frightened of anything. And I will probably even bleep out his name in this."
But it was also open season, and that was only because they were afraid of being sued. Meanwhile, and this is the point. You know, they ask those girls, it's a modest, you know, small tribute, and it's just a small act of solidarity. You know, we know now that 30,000 people have been murdered by Israel. All of the hospitals have been destroyed in Gaza. All of the universities, there are no operational schools. Children are starving now. You know, parents are grounding up animal feed to try and make some sort of flour out of it, to try and create some sort of makeshift bread to allow them to eat. Meanwhile, The Late Late Show in 2021, 2022, devoted an entire show to raising funds for Ukraine. Raising funds for Ukraine. It was called A Prayer for Ukraine. You're into Bono territory here. That's exactly the same. Exactly the same as what we've discussed about Bono. A Prayer for Ukraine. And absolutely, you know, I'm all for it. Ukraine flags on the big screen behind Ryan, who was putting on his saddest, empathetic face like Bono, the beautiful children of Ukraine. You know, just Bono wasn't available to sing about these beautiful stars of Ukraine, these children.
He did write a poem for Zelensky once.
Anything that there's a book in. The Ukrainian Catholic Congregation Choir were invited out, and this is what Ryan said about them. The Ukrainian now, absolutely beautiful bunch of people now. It can't be easy for you to be here, but we salute you for your bravery and thank you. We thank you. And the choir sang, wearing their Ukrainian traditional dress. The colours, there were people in the audience standing. The big screen behind showed heroic images of Ukraine and the Ukrainian flag fluttering. And I have no problem with any of that. Support that entirely. Yeah. But you see the point I'm making? Not Gaza, not the Palestinians. All right? Because that's not politically expedient. The establishment takes a different view of these things.
Yeah.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Clementine, lost and gone forever. Oh, my darling, Clementine.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.